You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Homeland After Show.
Hey, nice applause. Well, welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Bingus for doing it. We are doing another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Homeland Season 2, Episode 2, entitled Beirut is Back. I'm your host, John Comerford. I'm joined in the studio by the lovely and talented Jenna Bush.
Hello.
By the delightfully insightful Roth Cornett.
Hello, thank you.
And the charmingly observant Thaddeus Massey.
He's just Fonzie.
Who is also the Fonz.
He's got the jacket on.
Exactly. He's got the jacket on. That's nice. Well, big episode today. Brody's tape finds an audience. Carrie back in Beirut. Of course,
Carrie
Jessica.
Carrie vindicated.
Vindicated.
Well,
Jessica's got a new agenda, but we want to start off with Dana.
Yes.
So. Can I start off with holy crap?
Oh,
they just
okay.
did that in episode
in
2.
In episode 2.
Let's start off with holy crap. Why not?
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Just had to say it.
No, do it.
I think the interwebs is delighted and excited and a buzz with the news of what has happened in episode 2. But we'll get into this later.
Yes.
But John and I have a disagreement about the way this is going to ultimately go down. As you will see when we enter the Thunderdome.
Yeah, two people enter. Two will probably exit.
Probably.
It's not gonna be
It'll
that.
Probably be a kind of a slap
yes.
fight.
Ow. But we talked about it, and you guys wanted to start with Dana, because you guys are really loving this relationship between her
That's
and her
father.
That's
the cutest thing ever, yeah. Dana and her dad. I actually really like it because it's the... and. We were talking before the show about like having sympathy for a terrorist
exactly.
and the difficulty in that and why I have now heard from a number of people that the show is very difficult to watch. Mm-hmm. I don't agree with that. I think it's awesome, but whatever. But it's his one port in a storm. He can't talk to her about anything.
No.
But she, at the moment, it's sort of why he went to Carrie to begin with because she got him. But so there, this is his port in a storm. This is the one person who isn't judging him. Mm-hmm. And she probably would if she knew what he did.
Exactly.
But, well,
maybe not.
It's so important for the show because it is the thing that really humanizes him for the rest of us who want to just see him as a terrorist and just want to kill him.
Okay.
But it is the thing to humanize because he cares so much for his kid.
You know, that's really interesting that you guys are saying this because maybe I just have a very different perception of these characters or of the world in general. I'm not sure, but I actually find all of the characters to be very dynamic, very complex. That's what I like about them. None of them are black and white, as we discussed last week. Probably the one that I like the least is Jessica.
Yeah.
Or that I, you know, but she's gorgeous, and I actually love Marina Baccarin.
Yeah, she's
amazing. I've loved her on Firefly and so forth, but you know, I think that Dana is a very normal teenage girl. I think she's a very, very smart teenage girl. Mm-hmm. And that she has a very special relationship with her dad because she thinks that not only is she the only one who is able to understand where he's coming from, but he's really the only one that's able to accept her for her.
Yeah.
You know, and she's able to speak to him in a way that she can't and communicate with him in a way that she can't with her mother. So they have a real bond, and I think that was a brilliant move to look at that natural chemistry and for the writers to run with that. But I don't find Brody to be an unlikable
character. No, I don't.
Character.
I don't either. I've found that I've heard that from a number of people that have had a bit of trouble with it.
And
I think everyone is incredibly flawed and incredibly wonderful.
Yeah, well, that's what makes it so wonderful to watch. But here's the thing, though, that relationship that she has with him, so much of it is based on a falsehood. I mean,
but
she does
not.
Isn't
that the case with all fathers and daughters, though?
It's not to this degree.
But
it's more real than he has with anybody else.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, I happen to be a daughter of a father and have a really great relationship with my dad. My dad's awesome. But I think that, you know, you can't really know who your father is. Your father can't really know who you are
there
as
are
a daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there are boundaries of the parent-child relationship.
Clearly.
So, but I think that...
We hope.
Hell yes. Yeah, but I think that you... that there is sometimes a connection when you have that little moment where things click. Mm-hmm. She knows something about him.
Is not right. And he knows she knows.
Yes.
Right. And he knows that Dana's kind of rolling with it to some degree.
Yeah.
She's going, you know, I don't know, the whole thing with the praying was actually kind of weird. But at the same time, I think it's these moments that tell me how close their bond is. She's the only one that looks at him and goes, are you okay?
Yeah.
You know, she knows something didn't go right for him that day. She doesn't really know exactly what it was. She didn't know that he texted Abu Nuzir to warn him about his impending death.
And things might change if she did.
And things may change if she did. But to be honest, I don't think that they would change that much. I really think that she loves him so much that she would find a way to rationalize that. Also, she happens to be one of the most open-minded characters politically on the show.
Yeah.
That's
really she's the one out of all of the characters that we see, she is the one that is able to see multiple points of view versus everybody else is kind of stuck in their own myopic point of view. This is a terrorist. This is my enemy. This is that. Everyone but Dana to some degree.
Yeah.
I think Dana kind of represents kids. Like, you know how kids kind of look at things kind of just as they are?
They're more open.
As opposed to, you know, what has been... pressed and impressed upon their brain as they, you know, as they become adults or whatever.
You'd hope they'd be open-minded to that.
Yeah, and she's kind of like epitomizing that and, you know, giving us that.
Then why is she so closed-minded with her mother?
That's a normal relationship.
Help me out, because
that is normal for a teenage mother. I mean,
teenagers,
mother,
yeah.
A teenager with her mom.
Yeah.
But I think the thing that's great about Brody and his daughter is that that's the only relationship that he has that there's no agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the
no
only
agenda.
Pure relationship.
Exactly.
The
Nobody's
only pure
asking
one.
Him for anything.
Yeah.
He's not
even with his wife.
This episode, especially, everybody was asking if some Walden wanted him to do this.
Yeah. There's an agenda with every relationship that he
now
has.
Either he has one or they have
or
one
they
with
have
him
one.
Yeah. Or both. And
well,
including Jessica.
Including his wife.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I also think, though, definitely with mothers and daughters at when you're a teenager, that is a relationship that is naturally fraught with. I mean, you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to rebel against the person who has been your role model.
Right.
That's the natural way of things. You have
because
to do it.
Because that's how you become your own person.
Right. And I know a lot of parents are like, oh, it sucks. My kid sucks. But honestly, you're supposed to, that is the way it's supposed to go.
Right.
But I think also, you know, she's going through some stuff. She's been acting out. And in addition, her father's been away for a long time and she thought he was dead. So, you know, she's sleeping with people. She's drinking. And he's the only person who's really looking at her like, you're going through trauma? I went through trauma. I get it.
And he's the only person that's really looking at her in a holistic way, again, without agenda, because I think when Jessica's looking at her right now, so much of her is worried about how are you going to reflect on the family? How are you going to behave? What are you going to say? Are you going to embarrass me in front of the vice president's wife? And it's like, Mom, I am a person. I am your daughter. Look at me. Talk to me, the human being. And her dad is doing that, and her mother is not. So, of course, she doesn't want to deal with her mother.
Yeah.
That's true. Oddly enough, Dana seems to have a stronger sense of self-identity and who she is and know her own mind more than her mom does.
Her mom is a pain in the butt.
Her mom is like searching for who she is and how to fit into this new... And Dana is like...
I'm
underwhelmed by everything.
She is. The vice president's like, oh, my son told me about you. That's disconcerting.
Right.
Right. Right.
I know I kind of acted like a jerk.
Right. You know? Well, look at Jessica. And I mean, if you think about what's happened to her. Okay, so she has this relationship with her husband. He's gone. She thinks he's dead. She's holding out. Someone else gets married whose husband is also gone, the Walker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And she holds out and holds out and then finally finds comfort with someone else.
Right.
Home comes her husband, and she doesn't know who she is anymore. I mean, she really doesn't. Like, I don't like Jessica, and of course, love Morena Baccarin, but I have sympathy for her in that. Well, you know, he comes home, and she thinks, okay, I'm going to throw myself into this relationship, and what does he do? We can describe that sex scene again, but let's not.
Right.
And then he's off sleeping with someone else. So technically, she wasn't cheating on him because she thought he was dead.
Right.
But he did cheat on her, and she knows it, and so. when your relationship fails and you've been defining yourself through your relationships, then you have to go and look for something else to define you. And mm-hmm. she, in the meantime, while trying to define herself, also has a responsibility of a husband who's back running for political office and two children. And so the only thing there that's the easy way out to define yourself is, fine, I'm a politician's wife.
Right. But I think she's gone a little too far.
Oh, absolutely she has.
She's gone a little too far with saying that this is it, because it now is eradicating all of the things that she said were important to her.
Right.
If you're pitching that you don't want to get into this lifestyle because your family is the most important thing to you, you're making it very clear that you don't actually care about your family as an idea. Mm. You care mm-hmm. about the United States as an idea. Mm. You care about the idea of being a Marine's wife and a congressman's wife and the friends with the vice president, but you don't actually care about any of these real individual human beings because you're not paying attention at all to who they are. Because if you were, you'd be listening when your husband said, you think you want to help vets? Blow up this room. You'd be listening to that.
Right.
And you would understand that this man is coming from a very different place than right. you think he is.
Yeah. No, and I'm definitely not defending her. And, like, I don't like her at all. But, yeah. but I mean, that's, I think, where she's coming from when she heads in that direction. But you're totally right. She's not seeing anything. Mm-mm. She's not seeing anything that's going on around her. Her daughter, her husband, anything.
I'll defend her. I don't think she's as bad as you guys think. I don't think she's as selfish as everybody says. I'll tell you why. Because, so, she stuck it out. She thought her husband was still alive. The other woman got married. Right. Everybody and their mother's telling her, look, you have to go move on. She didn't move on. She said, no, I'm going to hold out. Until that day, years later, 6 years later, she finally finds comfort with somebody else. As soon as his husband's back, what does she have to do? The selfish thing would have been say, well, screw you. I've already got my guy.
Right.
But no, she didn't. She said, oh, okay, I have to do the thing that's right for the family. So she gets rid of the guy, even though they were ready to get in together and right. you know get together. But she didn't. She said, no, my husband's back now. I have to play this role, and I still love him. I still have to make this work and have a family. So she tries to make that work. Now, this whole thing about he's going to run for Congress. Is he not going to run for Congress? First, she says, no, I don't want anything to do with it, and you guys bitching at her about that. Then she says, okay, fine, I'm in, and you guys bitch about that. So which way is she supposed
it's
to go?
It's the way she's in.
It's the way she's in. Didn't bitch about her about not wanting him to run for. I thought that was the right choice. Like, he shouldn't run for Congress. I was on her team at that point. It's this season, that less so last season, uh-huh. where I think she was a more likable and relatable and I guess noble character. It's this season that I'm going, good God, woman.
Yeah.
Like, you are really caught in this net, aren't you? You are really drinking the Kool-Aid at this point.
Oh, but what's the Kool-Aid part? Because I disagree with this part that I agree with that she has no idea what she's doing yet, because I think she's still stuck in it. Everybody else has figured their role out, and she doesn't have that role figured out yet. I completely understand that part. So she's rudderless. But I don't know what Kool-Aid she's drinking since she's rudderless.
The Washington D.C. Kool-Aid. Wife, politician's wife Kool-Aid, where this woman comes up and she's so seductive. Oh, everyone wants to look at you. And I'm sitting there going, look at this, like, reeling her in. And it's so obvious to me that actually you are in the power position. She wants something from you.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
And you are giving away all of your power, Jessica, because because you are buying into what this other woman is telling you.
I also think she's a little naive. She's never had that kind of power.
Right. She
doesn't
has,
know how to use it. She doesn't know what it
and
is.
And it's so, I mean, it's really fascinating to me because I think that the whole show is about trust.
Do you know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything is about who can trust who and how and why. And in that
how can I use this person? How can I use that asset?
Yeah.
Like, clearly.
Trust of the assets, trust can, you know, who can trust each other.
Especially when...
Can Carrie trust her own mind?
When Saul and Carrie had you don't trust me. I mean, the whole thing was right there. They didn't trust them.
And in that particular circumstance, it was Jessica is giving away her trust to a woman who does not deserve it. Does not deserve it at all. She would stab her in the neck and drink her blood for 5 cents.
That's true.
I can't wait for that episode.
I can't wait to see that.
She would. The minute that Jessica was not useful to that woman, she would kill her where she stands.
Yeah, she has her own agenda as well, which will probably come out later.
Oh, yeah. They all hopefully
that'll give Jessica, you know, she's still in a position where she can be steered in.
Yeah.
Either way, you still don't know where she's going to kind of go, but this is helping her establish some sort of motive and giving herself some identity. Mm-hmm. You know, after last week's episode, it made me think about there's plenty of wives and their husbands go off to war, and so a lot of the husbands don't come back or whatever. So it's like a lot of them have kids, and I'm like, well, maybe we've been a little hard on Jessica. That made me think that. a little bit, because how do you restructure a life after you know, that's something that you always think like, okay, that's comes with the job. But when it actually happens, it's another story. And then, so how is she going to, you know, assimilate back into society without a husband? And then she has children, who is the identity of the man that she, that's no longer there. And then he actually comes back. So, and then when she tries to reconnect with the guy, he's sleeping with somebody else.
That's the betrayal. She had the betrayal.
Right. So it's like, you gotta, it's like,
but
oh,
that's
my gosh,
all last season Jessica. I don't actually have a big problem with last season Jessica.
Right.
It's now.
But this new one, now she's being thrust with this whole, like, he's Muslim. Wait, what? And she's struggling with the teenage daughter, being a mom, trying to be a good mom. She has no identity right now. None.
Not only that, but she doesn't have an ally. Who's out? What's ally? She's got a husband that doesn't pay attention to her.
And then a son.
She's got a daughter that hates her. And a son that,
son that we did not see once this episode.
He lives
in
daycare.
And, you know, so what? She doesn't have an ally.
But don't you think that, and we talked about this a little bit last week, her resistance or her upset or her trauma speaks to me about a level of ignorance and willful ignorance about what it is to be Muslim, because she just hears that word and goes bananas. Now, it's not like her daughter said to her, he's a terrorist. Mm-hmm. If they knew the truth about what Brody was all about, flip out.
Yeah.
You should flip out. That's crazy. But all she hears and all her daughter knows is, I was desperate. I was imprisoned for 8 years. I needed something to believe in, and this is what I found to keep me alive. And your reaction is to throw that on the floor.
Well, I think that goes to your point about how, you know, she's all worried about Dana and how it's going to reflect on her and her family. It's the same thing. She's worried about how you can't do this. You're a congressman, all the kind of all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, it's what it's going to look like, and that I think is a downfall of characters all over the place and people all over the place. What it's going to look like, and interestingly enough, we didn't see the after effect of that conversation. We've jumped forward a tiny bit, so we didn't see the bedroom, the pillow talk about, why didn't you tell me?
I don't think there was any bedroom pillow talk.
No, you know what I mean. I mean, they did sleep in the same room, you know. But you don't see that discussion, so you don't see how this has started to simmer. So we're just going to see how it starts to come out, and the fact that she asked her daughter about it.
Right. Yeah, well, and I think that's also, but the other part of it is that, okay, so he's come back, he doesn't have anything to do with me, and you're a Muslim too? Is there anything else you want to tell me about?
Right. Yeah, but
do I have to find out the hard way?
But she did not.
She didn't ask.
But why didn't he say anything? So you didn't feel that was a betrayal? So that betrayal's okay. That betrayal's okay. But
no,
not the other betrayal.
I don't think what he did was right. Obviously, I mean, I obviously don't think what he did was right.
Okay,
but I think that when he came home, she didn't ask him really about his experience. She didn't. It was just like, okay, well, you're back now, and
but we didn't see that pillow talk either. We don't know if we.
No, it's true. But I mean, I'm just going to guess that she didn't ask a lot from what we saw.
Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't go to therapy. It wasn't get some help. You've been a prisoner of war for... Well, she did a little bit, but I mean, really, like...
Okay.
Look, if I were in a relationship with somebody who came home from being a prisoner of war for 8 years, my reaction and approach would be completely different from hers. So I'm just saying... I don't think she made the right decisions.
And even if she, in the heat of the moment, was angry, like, you lied to me. You have this whole other life. You've been, our daughter found you in here praying in the garage. What is wrong with you? Who are you even? I don't know who you are. And then later calm down and we haven't seen, the show has not depicted her as this person, but then goes to him and says, explain to me what this is about, because I don't understand.
But here's the thing. I can use that exact same thing. She throws the Quran on the floor. Why doesn't he go, man, she's really pissed off. I've blown it here. I need to really fix this because I brought this here.
Right.
I brought this to our doorstep.
Because he has Stockholm syndrome and he's crazy.
Because he's been a prisoner of war for 8 years.
Because he was buried in a hole for 8 years.
So you give him all kinds of leeway. This is what's amazing to me is that I figured a woman who's been cheated on and lied to like crazy, and you guys think she's selfish.
She doesn't know how much she's been lied to.
Well,
that's
she knows about that.
No,
she knows.
She lied about the whole thing about the Muslim thing.
Exactly. You got to remember, after she found...
What else has he lied?
After she found the Quran in the garage, she said, now the crazy lady, a lot of the things that she was saying make sense. So remember when they got Carrie on the front lawn and she was saying all this stuff, she was basically blowing his cover. A lot of those things are registering with Jessica now. So now you have to think
that... she's going to ignore them.
Watch. Yeah, but like that's when I started the argument. That's what I was saying. Mm. I was defending her saying all of this stuff. At the same time... I don't like the way she's handled it, which is okay. just my opinion. Yeah. I don't, you know, coming from what she knows, I said she's been cheated on. Right. I think that's a problem, but I think there's a different way to handle it.
And I also
How
think
would you handle being cheated on?
Oh, there would be blood.
I think
you want me to tell you how I've handled it? No. Let's not.
Yeah.
I think this.
That's true. That it's,
that's
not,
true. Blood.
It's not so much. Look, this is the interesting thing about the show to me, is that he is obviously engaged in acts that are morally reprehensible. He almost blew up a room full of people.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Period. Who cares about cheating? He almost did that.
Right.
He almost committed a mass murder. He did cheat on his wife. That's not okay. All of these things. But I think you do have to take into account, A, the trauma, the mass. I can't imagine what it would be like to be locked up and brainwashed for 8 years straight and then come back and not know which end is up anymore and be trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. I think that that does deserve a certain amount of leeway. That's A.
Sure.
And then B, if we look at the motivations, Brody's motivations are almost always love. It's love for Issa. It's even love for Abu Nazir. It's love for his daughter stopped him. His love for his daughter stopped him. Or a sense of justice is driving him, whether you agree with it or not, mm-hmm. whether any of us agree with it or not, he has a sense that there is an injustice going on in the world mm-hmm. and that he knows about it and that other people don't and that people are going to be suffering and dying because of the willful ignorance. And his wife represents that exact willful ignorance that is so prevalent in the United States and the willful desire to ignore other human beings in the face of what you want. And he, that disgusts him at this point. That's
North
what I truly think.
2012.
That disgusts him. Because the vice president comes up to him and says, we're going to bomb these people. Mm-hmm. And he is disgusted by this. And this woman is the same type of person who would go, whatever, I'm going to my tea party.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there's a justification for him. There's a justification for him.
Yeah, no, I gotta agree.
So when he's in the room about to flip the switch, he doesn't look at that. That's not looked at like a mass murder. He's there. It's like an act of war.
To him, it's an act of war.
Yeah, and then he was over there, and Issa gets killed. That's like murder as far as how he's been indoctrinated while he was over there.
Well, but also, I should begs the question.
Right.
But that begs the question. Isn't that murder? That's a child that died.
Right.
That's
the whole point. Right. That's the whole point. So just for that to happen, it's kind of like there's the justification behind him doing
it. There's all kinds of collateral damage with suicide bombs.
Right. Well, no, that was a drone bombing.
No, I'm saying on the other side of the aisle, the other side of the argument, those people who use the suicide vests and everything, there are collateral damage.
Right.
That's murder.
Well, and I think ultimately, for me personally, it's just that violence begets violence. And so if you're going to, even if we're all in the room, I mean, that's sort of chilling to me to see people sitting in a room, you know, nations away, mm-hmm. gleefully excited to watch this guy get killed, as if that's going to solve the problem. You think that
Abu Nazir, you know,
exactly, exactly, as if it's a TV show, or they're watching Clint Eastwood as Dirty Harry or something.
Right.
This is a human being, and I'm not saying that I agree with this human being what he's doing. But you think they take out Abu Nazir and that's the end of it? No, somebody
that's
else pops
works,
up.
Right?
Yeah, totally. It's all over. Yeah, I mean, well, look, this does get into a discussion about how you feel about war in general and all of that, which is a really contentious thing and really difficult. And I mean, like, personally, I see the bad on both sides.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, and I think most people do. But
it's complicated. It's not an easy thing.
Yeah, there's no, it's not black
no
and
answer.
White. It's not like, do you, you know, coffee's delicious. Like,
coffee
it's
is
just,
delicious,
it, but I don't like it. So, but it's not a simple question.
No,
I mean,
it's not.
Really, really deep. So,
and having said all of that, by the way, my brother was a Marine.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was an embassy guard. And it's not like, exactly. It's not like I have any problem with the military at all. I mean, it's a reality of the world we live in, unfortunately.
Right.
But I also don't think it's black and white. You know, like, these are the good guys and these are the bad guys.
Yeah, I think that's what the show does so well, is that there really are no good guys and there really
that's why I think
aren't a lot of bad guys.
But I think that's represented in all the characters. That's why I don't think that every character is either good or bad.
Right, exactly.
Right.
Including Jessica.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, no, including Jessica.
Including Jessica. But
I started off defending her.
Let me put this out to you. Would you say that Abu Nazir is 100,000% the bad guy?
Well, they're depicting him as the bad guy, but from his perspective, of course not.
Do you think so, really?
What?
That, do you think that it's really 100,000%?
I don't even know what that
the
means.
Bag, I mean,
it's a lot of percentage. That that's what that means. That,
let's switch gears. Let's okay. pretend, let's take it back to the Revolutionary War here in the United States, and a person rises up and says, I will not have any more the British telling me what to do. I will not have the British overtaxing me. I will not have the British, you know, having my country suffering. They go out and they launch guerrilla warfare.
You're right.
Guerrilla warfare.
You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Is that person a bad guy?
Again, it always depends on what
because
side
that
you
was George Washington.
Where you sit is where you sit.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
true.
Yeah. No, well,
if you're in Britain, yeah, he's a bad guy.
Sure, if you're in Britain, but if you're here to us, that is not the bad guy.
Clearly.
Now,
right.
I will say this. Killing civilians, innocent civilians, to me is like willingly killing innocent civilians. It's never okay. And that's where the line is crossed, in my mind.
Right.
Well, see,
right.
the problem over there with that and the justification for that, just like the guerrilla warfare you're talking about with George Washington, kids get involved at a young age, and it's like, look, we're fighting for our very survival, our culture, our belief system, everything is at stake. And you have to learn that at a young age, and you have to be able to defend it, especially when you're the underdog.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think one of the things that this show is sort of putting out there is understanding both sides. Not that you shouldn't fight for what you believe in on either side, but
right.
that you need to at least try to understand the people on the other side. Just something that struck me when we started, and it was the tiniest little thing, mm-hmm. but just seeing women worship, the Friday worship that they were doing right. and the physical movements that they were doing, and I was like, I know nothing about that. I know mm-hmm. a lot about Muslim practices. I don't know that much about women.
Right.
And so I was like, wow, I'm completely ignorant of what the movements mean and what all of that is. Mm. And so I think that when I saw that struck me, like that really the most important thing is learning about the other side and learning why people do certain things.
Right.
On both sides.
But if
yeah.
you do that, we won't be able to kill them as easily.
Aw, jeez. That's what zombies are for.
That is what zombies are for, mm-hmm. exactly. That's why we have monsters in movies that we don't mind killing.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that I really truly believe that the show is doing a good job about not imposing a point of view.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah. Yeah, that I have to say, that's one thing that, like, my parents and I are not on the same side of the aisle, but we all really like the show.
Yeah.
And, I mean, completely different beliefs, but we both really like the show, and I think that says something about the writers.
Gonzo. So that was all Jessica Dana.
Well, we went all over the place.
Let's talk about Carrie a little bit.
Well, before we do that, we got to thank everybody for rating and commenting and downloading. We have got over 1.5 million daily now.
Wow.
1.5 million this downloads is
thanks,
a
people.
Day.
We're going to put our producer Marissa on the hot seat here in a minute and ask her what she thinks if Abu Nazir is a bad guy.
Yeah, all right. So, but anyway, we want to thank you very much for going to iTunes and giving us your ratings and your comments. Please keep doing that. That keeps the lights on here. Also, it helps us figure out what we need to do better. So, and if we had your names, we'd call them out, but we don't. So
we'll just make kissy faces.
Yes. And also, we want to thank you for telling a friend, so please continue to do that. So we've dealt with Jessica's new agenda. Or you had something else. Did you want to bring about that is Jessica's new agenda, how you like the fact that now she's going to have a bigger role to play?
Well, she definitely needs a bigger role.
Yeah.
You have to find something for her to hold on to. I mean, it was funny about that is that based on just not the character, it's not like the writers are reaching.
Yeah.
The character needs that. Like, Jessica has to find some sort of ground to stand on in order to... She's not going to be able to breathe.
Right.
She's going to be suffocating and drowning in this life of, like, what's going on.
And that role.
Like, you know, everything that's happening to her is pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
So she's really swimming to breathe. She's, like, fighting. She's treading water just to, like... stay sane to a certain degree. You know, even her relationship, like her daughter, like consistently exposes how fragile her state of being is right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So she needs this. She needs it big time. She needs this fundraiser. Mm-hmm. She needs Brody to speak. Yeah.
She's not doing bake sales anymore.
Yeah, she needs to take it to the next level.
She needs therapy as well.
She needs therapy.
Yes, maybe
exactly.
Brody will give her some therapy next week.
She needs a sense
not
of self.
Not with that weird ass kiss. The eyes open.
Right.
She needs a sense of self that is not defined by other people.
Yeah.
Is what she actually needs. But sure, the fundraiser, I guess, is nice too.
She might find
I don't think
next
that's going to go well for her, though.
I don't
I'll
know.
Be honest.
No.
I really don't. Do you?
I think it's going to go well. I think it has to in order for it to escalate her importance in Brody's situation, because everything at home is like, she's not a strong enough, well, how should I say? Yeah, she's not a strong enough barrier or obstacle at home. Everything at home he has supports him, which comes from Dana right now. Mm-hmm. The son is a non-factor. Jessica is just, well, a nagging wife, so to speak. She's not really a factor in the scheme of things. And I think she needs to become a factor in the scheme of things. Right. So this event has to go well in order for there to be some sort of tug of war with the actual agenda that matters.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's what I don't, whether it goes well or not, I don't care. I don't think it has to, because all I care about is that it opens her eyes, which is because, speaking to your point about her willful ignorance, that drives me crazy. I wish it opens her eyes up to a bigger world and she starts to understand
what's
her role in it,
right,
her personal power,
right,
so that she can be a stronger conflict and adversary.
Exactly.
Right.
Because I like that she sees something, that he's hiding something, because I want that to bubble up more.
I think this is going to give her an opportunity to be empowered. Because right now she has no power, no leverage.
She doesn't know she has any.
She doesn't. And I think this might, we might see this character develop, like her arc go into like a position of like, oh no. It's like giving the Thor hammer to an infant.
Yeah.
And she realizes that she has more power.
Mjolnir.
Yeah. What's that?
Mjolnir is the hammer's name.
Oh, anyway, that's the hammer's name. But you see how what's his name's wife came up to her and was like, you know, we want to see you and blah blah blah. So she's already getting fed a little bit of smoke up her butt a little bit.
She is. She is, but it's that other woman, it's the vice president's wife, that is so adept at the game, and I think that's really clear. Mm-hmm. that the vice president's wife is a total, like, she will just drain her like a till she's dead.
Yeah.
Well, I don't trust that woman at all.
Ew.
If Brody ends up becoming the running mate,
yeah,
then her position is going to become way more, they're going to become buddies.
Sure.
And some stuff is going to happen.
I like when stuff happens.
Me too.
Well, okay, so what do you guys think about Carrie's journey this week?
Whoa, vindication. Yeah.
Vindication.
She doesn't realize.
They know. Yeah. I was sweating. We had to turn on the air conditioning.
yes, she was.
Because I was so upset. Because and this is what the show does so brilliantly. I love this character of Carrie because there's such, I mean, I don't want to say Sherlock Holmes, but there's such a brilliant quality to her. And I love that in a character, that she is that much more brilliant than everyone else around her.
Right.
And that this fatal flaw has destroyed her. And I thought that moment with her and Saul on the rooftop was so completely heartbreaking, because Carrie knew she was crazy. I mean, she knew and she was dealing with it, but she also knew when she could trust herself. And Brody, that son of a bitch, the worst thing, like, he made her doubt herself. And to me, that's the thing that makes me hate him.
Because he didn't do that.
He won.
Let me tell you, he did.
Yeah, he did. Did.
He gave up on herself. He didn't do it.
No. The reason why.
Yes, she did.
Even through the psychosis.
No man makes you do anything or feel anything.
That's not true at all.
Okay.
Even through the end.
Pin it on the man.
Did you see the wall? No. Did you see the wall? Even as she was breaking down, she was still focused.
Still in the, we're in high, there's no time, Saul. We're in high purple. I love
that.
Yeah. How did he make her do that?
I'll tell you how. He backed out. Because if he had done, and I'll tell you, because this is the truth, she knew exactly what was going to happen.
So she's not in control of her own self, right? Is that your time?
No, we're not saying that at all. Not even a little bit.
I feel like we're speaking a different language.
Yeah, we're not saying
that. Is that Carrie knew exactly who this person was.
Right.
She knew who he was working for. Mm-hmm. She knew what he was going to do and when he was going to do it. The problem was he didn't do it. And him backing out of that act made her look like she was crazy the whole time, even though she was exactly right the whole time.
Right.
And now she is tormented with self-doubt that is going to damage her entire life and almost damage the mission.
Right.
She wasn't saying self-doubt. It's not his doubt.
No. We weren't saying he chose to purposely do this to her.
Right.
It's that
it happened that way.
Yeah. Not. We're not saying he made her do something as a man made a woman do. So that's what you said there. That's totally not what we're saying at all. It's that And the action.
That's a very interesting interpretation.
Yeah, really. No, that's like the act well,
that's
that
what
he
said.
Did. No.
She made her, he made her doubt herself.
No,
no,
no.
His actions caused her.
What happened, yeah, what he did made her think this, not that he did it to her.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
But
so,
I still think she has her own ownership in that. She would say, if she was that
she was
brilliant.
She was disproved, yeah.
Again.
Like, we're not saying.
If she was that brilliant, she'd go, okay, everybody else might.
I think you're not understanding what we're saying, though. Like, we're not, yeah.
I am understanding it. I'm not getting.
But
you're not allowing me to get my point across.
Go ahead, John. Go
which
ahead.
Which is, she's got self-doubt. She could still go, you know what? If she's that brilliant, maybe he didn't do what he was going to do. Maybe there's still evidence out there. I don't have to doubt that I've done that I was wrong.
Except it did. Well,
it was
the following
disproved.
Four things. One, she got blown up. She went off her medication. Mm-hmm. She was spiraling out of control, and then it didn't happen, and so she was disproved. Why would she at this point? All of the external evidence in the world mm-hmm. points to the fact that she was wrong.
And yet she still, there's still something hankering at her, so it's eating at her that there's something else
right,
going on.
Right, and she thinks that that thing that's eating at her is her own insanity.
Right.
And understandably so, because she crazy. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
Like, crazy.
You know? Yeah. She's brilliant, but she's crazy. And so I think the thing that, like, as a viewer is so upsetting for me to watch is for that to be continuously work against her just by the external circumstances of the show. Whereas she knew Abu Nazir was going to be there. She knew she was right. She knew that her asset, she said, I can trust the old me. I mean, that's that thing
exactly.
of trust. Can I trust myself? I don't know if I can trust myself right now, but I can trust myself 8 years ago when I, or 6 years ago when I recruited or whenever it was.
Yeah, she was able to separate.
She was able to separate that out, which is a extreme level of brilliance for someone that is in the middle of recovering from a complete mental breakdown.
Mm-hmm. And shock therapy.
And shock therapy. Most people wouldn't be able to form sentences, much less understand and distinguish when she should doubt herself and when she isn't. And I think that the thing about Brody is that I just really want her to be vindicated so she can trust herself again.
Do you think she even will?
Yes.
Do you think will she ever fully trust herself? Because then she's going to go, I was right all along, and I still doubted myself.
But then she needs to convince everyone else to trust her again. But there is a thing that we've seen
that
in the previews where she said, where she says to Brody, and I believe this is right, that she says to Brody, you're a terrorist and you have to pay for it.
Yeah.
So at some point she is going to trust herself again. And if she sees this tape, this video tape, oh God, I'm dating myself, this video that he... of Brody, then I mean, who knows when she'll see it? That might do it.
According to Roth,
yeah,
if at all.
You know, I think one of the funny things about this whole her not trusting herself thing is that if she had not gotten intimate with Brody,
yeah,
I think this is kind of where the romance and her work and research and finding out, getting clues or whatever regarding who he really is, overlap.
Yeah.
And her getting intimate with him and sleeping with him and developing some sort of intimate relationship kind of goes back to the carnal, natural, you know, can I trust this guy? Beyond the whole...
Okay, I see what you're saying with that. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
you know,
true.
So now it's compromised her as a woman.
Yeah.
Beyond the information that she has. I think if she didn't develop that intimate relationship
yeah.
with him,
yeah.
then she would probably be more sure, and she wouldn't have second-guessed herself about the information that she had, even though he didn't flip the switch. I think she would have been like, no, something went wrong, and she wouldn't have lost... I don't think she would have lost it like that.
Lost perspective.
Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
I think if it hadn't been... I think you're really right that if it hadn't been all of those elements, if she hadn't been blown up, if she hadn't gone off her meds, if she hadn't spiraled out of control, I mean, she was already so fragile and
yeah.
really having a breakdown. And then plus two, you're right, she slept with him, which frankly does confuse things.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's true that when you pick, it's really true, actually, insightful, like when you pick the wrong guy, the worst result of that is that you doubt yourself so
right.
hard.
Yeah, but wasn't she already
that.
Picking the wrong guys? I mean, she's sleeping with
yeah,
the guys,
and I
so.
Think
but
yeah.
she
and
wasn't
I think,
attached
she, and
right.
I think
so.
I think also that it's part of her illness, to mm-hmm. be honest, that she's overly sexualized, or she sexualizes situations
yeah.
inappropriately.
Yeah, well, that's something I actually
to,
wanted to bring
detached.
Up yeah Yeah, well, that's something I wanted to bring up because I am not familiar as familiar with her disorder as I'd like to be. And so, guys, if you're watching and you've got some...
I don't know if you'd like to be that familiar.
Oh, no, no. But I mean, research-wise, maybe not personally. From the inside. Wow. But I really am curious how much of that might contribute to, one, her brilliance.
Yeah.
To the way she tackles problems, which may have gotten her to determinations that other people might not have gotten to, what it does to her sexuality, what it does to self-doubt. I'm actually really curious about this. I want to do some research, but guys, if you guys have any familiarity with this disorder, maybe that's something you could leave in the comments or tweet at us or something like
I
that.
Mean, I feel like that the sexualization is definitely a trait that happens with manic depression. And then she's manic depressive, isn't she? Or bipolar,
I don't know,
or
something.
I mean, I feel I feel like the definitions change so often. But I do feel like the sexualization and the inappropriate sexual boundaries is symptomatic of that. And that, because she did that with Saul in the very first episode,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You know, she felt endangered, and the first thing she wanted to do was use her sexuality.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so guys, please send that in, because that is something I'm actually very, very curious about.
Well,
yeah.
We don't need too many details.
Not that part.
I just think that this is such an amazing character, and I think she's just so brilliant in it. And what's amazing to me is that, you know, we're only in the second episode, but then in a second season, they're continuing to have her grow like this.
Right.
Yeah.
And continuing to have her evolve, and she has this new problem to face of overcoming. Because in the first season, she had no self-doubt, really. She knew she was right.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the impulsiveness of, like, running back into the building.
Oh, my God.
Like, that, because the things that we yelled at the television.
But look what it got her.
Yes, it
that's
totally
what it
did.
Got her.
Yeah, so if that's...
No, but do you think that's brilliant or just crazy?
Well,
both.
That's the thing.
I think it's
that's
both.
The thing. I mean, that's part of the reason I want to know a little bit more about the disorder, because is it something that changes your impulse? And is that
it's part crazy of the... if she doesn't find anything. It's brilliant if she finds something.
No, but exactly. But I'm just saying that, like.
But Sherlock Holmes was a coke addict, too, you know?
Right.
Nobody's perfect.
I know.
I think her instinct led her to run back and say, there's something in there.
Something in
her
there.
Instinct, she's a genius spy.
Yeah.
She is truly a genius spy.
She is.
And probably, they say there's like a little border between genius and crazy, and I think she walks
right
that line.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what you said about it's crazy if she doesn't get something, it's brilliant if she does,
exactly.
is true, but also that's the whole last season. She was right.
She was
but
right.
She's crazy because no one knows.
Exactly. That's what drives me. Thank you. That's what bothers me about it, is that perception, that is the perception. She is considered crazy now because they don't know she was right. If they understood she was right, she would have been considered brilliant.
Right.
You know what would happen? I was afraid when the whole Abu Nazir and Abbas Ali meeting was going to happen, that it was going to leave her further looking crazy after Saul was supposed to meet with Fatima.
Right.
So I was like, oh, God. Now she's going to look even crazier. Right. Roth is like,
she can look crazier?
She's like, no, I need Carrie vindicated now.
I do. I do.
So that was really crazy. So, yeah, I'm just glad that it went according to plan. You know, at
almost,
least. Almost. Yeah. I mean, it didn't go according to plan for the government.
But it did for her.
But it did for her.
Her asset proved to be
exactly.
truthful.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, not even that her asset was proved to be truthful. The bigger case was that she was right in assessing the asset's reliability.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, like Saul said, Saul was like, well, I was there. I was supposed to be there to assess Fatima's reliability. You're just supposed to be there to extract information.
Right.
And that was it. So she was able to get that information, and her judgment was on point.
Right.
Yeah.
As usual.
Yeah.
So.
Because that's the truth, guys. I mean, we're talking about how crazy Carrie is. And she's crazy. She's a little cray cray. But when has she been wrong? Whenever. She's never been wrong.
That's what annoys
me. She's doubting herself. She was wrong then?
That's what annoys me, though.
That annoys you that she's ever been wrong?
Yeah, and then she's like,
she was wrong when she tried to do that thing with Saul. I mean, she's made wrong steps. She was wrong when she slept with Brody.
I mean about the things that count in her job.
Right.
When
well,
has
that,
she
that's
been
what
wrong
is the thing. You shouldn't have slept with Brody. That's a horrible thing to do in your job.
Okay, fair enough.
But that's not
but
wrong.
But she did find
that.
Out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she also blew her cover because of it.
She blew her cover because she was happy.
Yeah, well, because she slept with him.
Yeah, but I mean, I think, but
well,
she did find out.
I can't believe you give her a pass on that.
She oh, is, I'm not giving her a pass on
we're
that.
We're saying she's...
Keep, we, yeah, we, we've not given her.
You keep making excuses and rationalizations. Well, yeah, but the, yeah, but the, yeah, but the...
No, I'm saying I absolutely... But she did find things out. She found out he's a Muslim. Who else knows that at this point except for his wife and his daughter?
Right.
That's it. I mean,
she knew it last season.
Right, right. So, yeah, she knows that. She knows
heard him say Isa.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't know she knows that.
The right. only reason she knows that is because she was in bed with him.
The other her knows that.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
The other her knows that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So she's extracting information from the other her. She's like, okay, whatever.
Interrogate oneself.
Okay, whatever. Ooh. Okay. Oh, you're right. Okay. Let me go back and...
And the thing with the thing with Carrie, too, is that, honestly, Carrie has no doubt... This is the thing that's interesting to me, because Brody is like playing both sides, and mm-hmm. I think he doesn't, even though he texted Abu Nazir, mm-hmm. I think he did that again because he has a true affection for Abu Nazir, and he did not want to sit there and watch him get shot in the head.
I think he was an idiot.
Well, well maybe. Yes. That's because he would, maybe that's debatable, but
He'd be free, dude.
That's what
would
I think.
Would he really, like, do you guys think no one else knows about him?
Okay.
I think they might have, but I don't
guess
think
what chick knows about him.
Exactly.
But I don't think they would have had as much of a hold on him.
No, because Abu Nazir has an emotional hold on him.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant... What I don't like about Abu Nazir is how manipulative he is.
That's
like
why
how,
he's great about him.
Yeah, no, I'm...
That's why
as a character, top. But... being a great character doesn't mean I like you as a character. You know what I mean?
Right.
He's a great character, and he's a master manipulator. But I think that Carrie has no doubt in her mind that her job to protect the United States is the right thing to do. Uh-huh. And I think that's good. Like, they're a contrast in that way. You know, I mean, he's like... he doesn't know anymore who he is, but the one thing that she has no doubt about is that that is the right thing to do, and that's why I think that's the thing she's never wrong about, because she's so committed to it. She hates that 9/11 happened. She hates that she feels personally responsible for that she missed something, and she never wants to do that again.
That Bush was in on it.
Oh God, here come the comments.
Thaddeus Massey at Club Thaddeus.
That is all this.
We're pointing at you.
The only person that said
I had to say something.
That is all Thaddeus all the time.
But I had the same reaction. I had the same reaction as Thaddeus when Abu was going to get killed. I was thinking, if I'm Brody, I'm going to shoot him in the head. Dude, that would be so great.
But do you have to talk about what he believes?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is something.
He can still believe that without Abu being alive.
Yeah.
How does that change his belief?
Because the next person falls in and follows him around. I mean, this is cutting the head off a Hydra.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
That's
it's exactly
true.
Right.
Yeah, it's not
going to stop it. It's going somebody else and someone he doesn't know.
Yeah, that's my point, is that he has that emotional connection with Abu, which means that's gone. So whatever they have, how is it going to?
However,
manipulation
is going to be gone.
Issa's gone. Abu's gone.
Yeah,
where's the emotional connection?
Yeah. Nazir, I think Brody believes that Nazir has an affection for him as well.
Exactly.
So he may be more willing to listen to Brody's arguments. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that he has so far, but he may very well, if this man actually does care about him, which I think Brody believes,
right?
He might be able to say, trust me, I know what I'm doing, I'm going to be able to do this. Exactly what he's been saying to, I can never remember her name, Rada, right?
Roya.
Hamad. Sorry, I was very, Roya.
Roya,
okay,
Hamad.
So, I knew you'd know. But the fact that he's arguing with her and telling him, no, please tell him this is my argument.
Right.
If it's someone he doesn't know, mm-hmm. and all of these people have information on him, they can drop it on him anytime.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they have plenty on Brody. You think that's the only table?
No, I don't think that's the only thing. What I'm saying, if I'm in his shoes, part of me would be going, take him out. My life might be easier. That's what I would be thinking.
I would think it would be more difficult.
Yeah.
But that's the unknown.
Yeah,
and I'm thinking
who
most
knows?
People say take that out.
He's got Stockholm syndrome, too.
This guy's at the top of the ladder, right? Abu Nazir.
Yeah.
So, you know, you chop off the head. I mean, even though that another head is going to grow back in its place, it's going to take some time for that to happen. Plus, who knows what developments will happen for Brody mm-hmm. on this side that give him some leverage in the meantime. At the very least... What's the worst that's going to happen? Somebody new is going to come and say, okay, there's somebody new that's in charge now, and we need you to do this.
I also think it would have been more interesting.
Or they kill him and his entire family.
Yeah, exactly. They take him out because he's not doing exactly what they want in the way they want him
exactly.
to.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is in that time that they have to configure their structure over there, that would maybe give him some breathing room to do some things that he needs to do.
Like what, though?
I mean, who knows? He needs that space, though.
I think the Stockholm Syndrome, I think that is an actual thing, though, because he really, I mean, that is a real thing. Like, you do start to have affection for your captors, and I think there is a very strong part of him. I mean, look at the connection he had with Isid. Like, now he does have this connection with Abu Nazir, whether it makes sense or not, he does have it. And so, and also somebody, I mean, you don't know how fast someone could come in. I mean, who knows who's taken over for Osama bin Laden and how and what projects are going on, but at least like, and they got someone in. They have this reporter who found him immediately and is already giving him directives.
Right.
So that's it could happen really fast. And at least this one person, he has an actual mental connection.
Right. Exactly. I just think it would have been interesting to play his conflicting about whether or not that guy would be good for dead or alive. I think that would have been a better thing to play.
Than him just 100%.
Yeah,
it was an easy
choice rather than a more conflicted one. I think that would have been layered. That would have been more interesting.
Maybe, but I think that the dynamic here that we have going on, or that the show creators have set up, is his genuine affection for Abu Nazir and his genuine affection for Dana are basically what it's in play, more than his ideological beliefs. Because ideologically, honestly, he's representing the wrong party. Is really his biggest problem.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, at this point, the problem is he's representing the party that's like, let's go bomb everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. So, I mean, and honestly,
well, and again,
I mean,
perspective, why is anybody in this getting hit by drone strikes is saying, no, they're the ones bombing everybody? Meaning
Wait,
us.
Wait, what? Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I mean, I think the show is smart to focus on his relationships and less on ideology, because once you start doing that,
ideological. I was just saying, as a human being, it would be more interesting to play this guy being killed could be good for me.
Right.
It's not ideological. It's just that
I think that that's discounting the fact that he really loves this person, or he believes he does. Whether he's brainwashed or brain scrambled or whatever, he loves them.
But
he
I'm still holding out the idea that yes, he may love them, but I mean, you can love people and still go, God, my life would be easier without him.
That doesn't mean you want them dead.
Yeah, well, there have been plenty of people that have wanted people dead. I'm just saying. I'll make the point one more time. It would have been more interesting for me to watch that kind of thing, inner turmoil going about that, than the easier way, which was the one that was.
Well,
expected.
We may see regret.
What's that?
We may see regret for his decision.
And speaking of interesting things to watch, John, you guys can go to ABTV, AfterBuzzTV.com, and we have like 50 shows for this fall's lineup. And you can subscribe to us on Twitter at AfterBuzzTV, and you can subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/AfterBuzzTV.
And iTunes.
And iTunes as well. Thanks, Roth Garnett. Sure. See? Roth Garnett, 2012. She's the bomb. So... that's the fall schedule, 50 shows. I've got Vegas on Tuesdays, which is a bomb show. I'm trying to catch up to this show. Homeland's number one. Thanks to you guys on iTunes doing all the rating and the commenting and the podcast subscriptions and all that good stuff.
Yay.
We've got Roth, Doctor Who still going on.
Got Doctor Who going on with
happening.
Jenna and Roth.
Isn't there a big thing happening that people somebody's picking the episodes to watch?
Yes, we're doing classic episodes between the fall finale, which was last week, and the Christmas show. And so we just did a classic Peter Davison episode, and we're going to be doing more. So
all kinds of nerdy goodness.
Nerdy goodness.
So you guys got the lowdown. John, do you have any other shows? Right?
Nothing.
No. He's the bomb.
So John's like, watch Homeland, man.
That's it.
Do it.
Well, speaking of watching that, what did Saul see? Let's get into it real quick. We haven't talked about
Tape.
We haven't talked about the recording.
That's pretty.
Yes, I'm not allowed to say tape anymore because it makes it sound old.
Yeah. So her running back into the building paid off. She's running back into the building.
The data stream.
Yes.
The data stream.
She's getting shot at. The data
stream. So John and I had a pretty good... I'm sure you guys are shocked that we disagreed about anything.
I'm trying to take the contrarian viewpoint.
But we did disagree about the impact that tape would have if it was released. And my point was this, is that if that tape was released, Brody's political career is done. He might not be going to jail. There might not be anything incriminating on that tape, but damn it, data stream. But there is enough information on there to let you know that he is not the man you thought he was, because he believes many, many things that he says he doesn't. You know, right. And he, so I think that that is very, because I mean, I don't remember everything that he said, but it was essentially, these are the reasons that I'm going to do this, and it has to
suicide
do,
suicide tape.
It was a suicide bomb yeah. tape, and it's very obviously that, and he says, these are the reasons I'm going to do it, and it's because this is what the United States is doing wrong. He has put himself up as a rah-rah patriot, and then this tape comes out saying all of the things that he says the United States is doing wrong that seems, by the people that are supporting him, entirely unpatriotic, though I don't think it necessarily is unpatriotic,
right.
to have those beliefs, not to...
not so much with the bombing.
Not so much with the bombing. However,
not so much.
But that's how it will appear, and his political career at that point would be over. He may not go to jail, but his political career would be over.
Right.
So something's going to happen to that data stream. It's not getting released right,
right.
now.
Right. No. I mean, I now I know this is a prediction, and I don't know if we need to. I mean, I if I'm allowed. Okay. I think that. They're definitely not going to release it right away. I think they're going to try to take him out from the inside, and my guess is Kerry goes rogue and approaches him directly.
Okay. Mm.
Just from that little clip we saw in the preview.
So Saul shows it to Kerry?
I think she finds... I don't know if he shows it to her or not, but I think she finds out about it eventually. So I think I think CIA is going to try to keep it quiet and take him out slowly. Maybe find out what other operatives he has. And this is just a guess. Like, I'm not right. basing this on anything I know. I'm just guessing. But from that one clip where you see Kerry confront him, I think at some point she's obviously going to find out about the tape.
Right.
And instead of being quiet about it, she's going to go full-on Kerry crazy and go and approach him about it.
So who is he killing in that swamp, you guys?
I don't know.
They did a really good job of not showing
it.
Right. But if not
Saul,
we're here guessing, obviously. Yeah. Like, if not Saul... Because your girlfriend says to him, which is what I'm going to call her, that's so disrespectful. He is the only one.
Roya.
He is the only.
Roya, he's fine with it.
Thank you. Roya says he's the only one that knows who you are. And then right. the next thing we know, he's drowning somebody or burying them in a swamp. If not Saul, who?
The only other thing I can think of was there was that one little scene we didn't mention where everyone, all of his old troops are trying to get him to find out what really happened to Walker
right.
and who really killed him. And there was one rather drunk, angry man. So it's certainly possible that someone that guy confronts him. Again, just a guess. I'm not basing this on anything other than possibilities. But it could, if it's because because I don't want them to kill Saul because I love Mandy Patinkin. But I think that...
I know.
That's
suck?
Yeah, like... Oh, my God,
Saul's
yeah.
not going anywhere.
No, but I mean, that's just another possibility that
if
maybe...
If they want to keep us guessing, maybe he is.
Yeah, maybe he confronts them.
They don't kill Saul, yeah.
Yeah, no, but maybe that guy confronts him
right.
after a bar in a drunken rage and he just snaps and kills him because
that's the guy. He's the other Marine.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Marine from his...
That's my guess.
Yeah.
Right. In naming the things that Brody has done that are not so savory, we will say that shooting Walker in the head is among them.
Less savory than other
but
things.
But he was a terrorist. So he kills a terrorist. That's not a good thing?
Walker was a... Wait, what?
Well, Walker
was a terrorist.
Yeah,
Walker was a terrorist.
Yeah.
Was a terrorist.
Right.
Yeah.
Walker was was clearly far more damaged than Brody was.
Uh-huh.
In my opinion, he was.
It was like he called Lee Harvey.
So then it's a good thing that he killed him, right?
So now he's the hero.
No, well, are you asking me that legitimately?
Just asking.
I told you already that I think violence begets violence. That's
but
what I think.
I mean, in the world of this,
I think it's better to arrest him. That's what I think.
And extract information.
Sure. I mean, but I
who hired you? Who sent you here?
Do I think it's better to shoot him in the head or arrest him? I think it's better to arrest him, personally. And I know that in the reality of the world that we live in, a military is a necessary thing, and sometimes people die, and that's the sad truth. But in that particular circumstance, he wasn't dying because of a necessary military act, unless, by Abu Nazir's estimation, it was, as an act of loyalty.
Well.
You know, and that's a whole different question. But do I think that Walker needed to die because he was a terrorist? That's not why he did die.
You arrest him.
He died
so that
Brody...
Strip his clothes down, take pictures, and put it on the internet. That's what you do.
This is all this.
The
funny thing
is, address
your notes too.
Yeah, when did that happen?
But I'm probably going to get more comments, I swear, for my pacifist comments than he is for his totally obnoxious stuff.
Yeah, but I think you're right in saying that, that you do have to say that pacifist comments aside, war is very often necessary.
I'm not ignorant about the realities of life and the need for a man on the wall.
Right.
My brother was that man on the wall.
Yeah. So
I respect everything
he
did.
Yeah. You want me on that wall?
Exactly.
Yeah. My dad's military too. So you don't. We just want to be clear on that. But
so is mine. How about yours?
I do. I have some
Loser.
Uncles. No, I have some uncles.
Oh, I have an uncle.
I do.
I
have a few uncles. Wow. I'm an Eagle Scout. Hey, go ahead. Sure, why not? My godbrother was
ROTC. But if you're Saul, don't you have to show it to Carrie? Or at least tell her? Don't you
Not
want
if you think
to?
It's going to send her over the edge.
But why would
it? You have to show it to Estes.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we
clearly,
have to see
clearly,
what
but
happens
not,
on that tape next week.
He's your mentor. This is the thing that you've just been told by her that's the thing that's killing you, that you have all this doubt. Wouldn't you want to be the guy to say, look, you were right?
Well, it depends, because if she can't come back to the CIA and she's been damaged, he can't tell her. She's not in the CIA. And it may set her off, and he cares about her as a person. Because if she knows she was right, what's the first thing she's going to do?
She's going to go
freak
find
out and
Brody.
Say, "I want to either go find Brody and or come back into try to get back into the CIA, which they won't let her do."
Yeah.
So it's going to set her off and completely flip her out. And more respectfully to her her discovery, he would try to fix it himself.
Yeah.
And tell her after.
Yeah, that's the thing. But if he waits, you know that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Well,
I agree that even on a personal level, he would hesitate to tell her because he thinks she's so damaged, you know, and Carrie is impulsive, to say the least. And of course she'd go find Brody. Who knows what she'd do once
love.
She did.
Find her love. Find her man. Brody, where are
you? All right, does anybody have any? We got to move on to news and predictions because we got to get
We just kind of did predictions.
Yeah.
We did, but we have to have a little... Woo, we have to do that, and then there we go.
Well, I have let's ask some questions.
You're after Buzz TV predictions.
So Estes gets the memory card, data stream, whatever the hell we're calling it. So what do you think he does with it?
First off, before we go
all
to
right.
that,
oh, beg your pardon.
Somebody on Twitter, this guy is funny. I want to give a shout out to Dave Itzkoff at D Itzkoff. On Twitter. He says, you know Homeland is fiction because no one ever got Microsoft Windows to play a video file that
time. Is such a brilliant comment.
That is the funniest.
I love this person.
This guy is
that
witty.
That is hilarious.
Dave, big shout outs to Dave Itzkoff.
Dave, that was an amazing comment. You rock.
Thank you, Dave.
Oh, snap!
Thanks, Marissa.
There you go. So what
Estes has got it. What do you think he does with it?
I mean, what reason does he have? I mean, what's in play for Estes with that?
That's a great question.
You know what I
mean? Take down a bigger... What I said before, I mean, I think they go slowly. I don't think they confront him with it right away because I think they want to find out who he's working with.
Well, they got to do all that because you've got a long season, too. So
definitely.
Episode,
but they don't know they're in a TV show. But I think they try to find out who he's working with, who knows what he knows, and how high this goes.
Yeah, and I think also what's in play for Estes is that as much as Carrie was right, he was wrong. Mm-hmm. About Brody from the very beginning. As much as Carrie was right the whole time, he was wrong the whole time. He didn't trust his agent. Mm-hmm. He didn't take the right to actions. He put him in the same room with suspects.
Yeah, that was really stupid.
He helped make him a congressman. Well, and so at this point...
Yeah, but so did the vice president.
So did the vice president. Well, so what's in play for the vice president is also what's in play for Estes, which is that they
wagon to him.
Do you think these people want this to come out? I think that may be something that's going to come up, is that the vice president and Estes, neither one of them wants this to come out because of the damage that it would do to their career.
Yeah, and if you think about it, who's Estes possibly going out to dinner with?
Mm.
What stuff might slip? What I mean, and even if nothing slips, what happens? But even if that happens, and what if he does develop a relationship with her and then finds out she's involved? What does he do?
I mean, there's a lot of stakes for very powerful players for them not to have anyone find out that Brody was a terrorist. Because how stupid do they look?
Very.
They look very lame.
Indeed.
Hey, even more lame for Estes.
Quickly tell everybody where they can find you.
Okay, you can find me at Jenna Bush. It's BUSCH, like the beer, not the president.
The beer. You can find me at Club Thaddeus on Twitter, CLUBTHADDEUS.
And I am at JRoTHC, JROTHC for president.
2012.
You can't find me anywhere. I'm off the grid.
He's
because
not the
he's a terrorist.
He didn't, I'm a terrorist.
He didn't swallow the right pill. He's not in the Matrix.
That's right. All right, well, that's it, everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in. On behalf of Marissa Cervini, Thaddeus Massey, Roth Cornett, and Jenna Bush, I'm John Comerford saying thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.